Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, we continue our study in the Desiring God series, A Heart to Serve. And we've got this in one more week that we're going to be focusing on this. And let me just remind you, those servant interest forms are in circulation. If you have not filled one out, please do so. Place them in the basket on the in the foyer, identified as the receptacle, and we would appreciate having that record so we'll know how to help you in your service. That's the idea of serving. And you know, we don't want to draft you into anything. We don't want you to do something that God has not given you a heart for. But one thing I do know, God has a purpose for all of us. And we want to help you fulfill that purpose that God has for you as you walk with Him on this earth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow to you today, asking you to speak to us through your word. Father, we pray that your will be done in this service today. You know the needs of everyone present. You know every need. And I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you will just move freely among us today and address those spiritual needs and give the ones the confidence and the courage to come to you, to have those needs fulfilled. Lord, we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be seated. Today we answer the question, how can I have a servant's heart? What do I have to do to get there, to have that heart that's joyful and has a burning desire to serve? And, you know, how can I fix my want to so that when I serve, it's not something that I have to do, but it's something that I get to do? Because, you know, oftentimes if you're not careful, serving can become burdensome. It's not supposed to be burdensome. It's supposed to be an opportunity. It's supposed to bring you joy. How do we get there? Well, I'm glad you asked, because you wanted to know the answer to that, right? Okay? I'm going to tell you. Actually, Jesus tells us in the text today. We start, number one, here's how you get there. Establish your priority. Establish your priority. Now, I want you to notice when I say establish your priority, that word priority is singular. We're not saying make a list and put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's not what we're saying. We're saying establish the priority in your life. There's only room for one. If you'll notice in the text, verse 21 gives us the secret to this. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you have to understand the idea behind treasure. We're not talking about some buried treasure chest. That word treasure is the thing that you value. As a matter of fact, as it's used here, it's the thing that you're going to value above everything else. A treasure is not something you just like. Treasure is something that you love, and you will you value. That's the word I'm looking for, is value. It's something that you see the value. It's something you'll make sacrifices to have. It's something you pursue with a passion. And when you get there, when you treasure something, you begin to allow it or even encourage it to govern your life. But here's what you have to know. There is only room for one number one. I'm going to say that again. There is only room for one number one. Make sense? You see, the reality is it's not what you say. And if I were to ask you, do you value God? What are you going to say? Amen. Some of you do. I don't know the rest of you. Do you value God? Do you see the value in God? Is He a treasure? I want you to understand that we all value God, but do we see the value in God? Do we treasure God? Because you see, it's not so much what we say that indicates our value systems. It's what we do that indicates our value system. And if you want God to be the priority or the most valuable thing in your life, here's how you do it. You choose God. Pretty simple, right? You choose to make God the priority of your life. That means every decision that you make is based upon your relationship with God. Every course of life that you pursue is based upon your relationship with God. And I'll tell you, until we get this part right, we will never know the joy of serving Jesus. When you can view life through the lens of how does it glorify Jesus Christ, then life becomes way more simple. Right? So number one, if you're going to be a servant or have a servant's heart, you have to establish your priority, and that priority is God, and there is room for only one number one. Second thing I want to tell you, change your perception. Change your perception. Verses 20 and 22 and 23, we're told, the lamp is the eye of the body. If the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If the eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. That word good, or good eye, the two words, in the Greek, the literal translation of it is single. If you have a single eye. And what it's talking about is having a focus. A healthy eye can focus on things. How many of you are blessed with wearing glasses? Oh, I thank the Lord for glasses. Because if I didn't have my glasses, I would not be able to preach to you today. I can't read anything. I can't see anything without my glasses. Oh, but when I put my glasses on, man, the words of the Bible just jump off the page. I thank God for glasses. But you know what else? I thank God for the ability to focus upon His kingdom. You see, here's what we have to understand about serving. We're torn in so many directions, and we'll get into that a little bit later on, but there are so many distractions in life. Pulls us in this direction and that direction, and we think, oh my goodness, I've got so much to do. But here's my question. What does it really matter? If it does not matter 50 years from now, it really doesn't matter today, does it? If it does not matter throughout eternity, it really does not matter today. Here's what you have to understand. You have to have a focus, an eye upon God's kingdom and God's work. You see, James chapter 1, verse 8, we're told, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And let me make that a little more simple for you. A divided man is unstable in all his ways. When you're torn in so many directions, you can't do anything justice. Why? Because your heart's going this way one minute and another way the next. When there's a decision, you know, on Sunday morning, do I go to church or do I not? There's some other things I could do. I mean, I need time off. I need recreation time. I need to go see someone. I need to... No, whoa, stop. Focus. A divided man is unstable in all his ways. Choose God. You see, what you have to understand is you are here for a purpose. Focus on the purpose. God has not just got you, had you around to do the best you can along the way. I want to tell you something that's exciting to me. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. He's speaking to the prophet Jeremiah here. I understand. But I do not believe it's limited to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now listen, you may be here today and God hasn't ordained you to be a prophet in the nations. But here's what I do know. God knew you before you were born. He formed you. And He has given you this life to serve Him. He has given you a purpose. Oh, listen, I'm so blessed to be a pastor today. I'm blessed to be your pastor. And that's my service. That's what I want to do. That's the desire of my heart. I want to preach. I want to share Jesus Christ. I want to make disciples. And that's the focus of my entire life. You may think, you know, if people look at preachers that, well, yeah, but you're that special. No, I'm really not very special. Ask Beth, she'll tell you, I'm really not very special. Everyone here has a God-given purpose that's just as real as my God-given purpose. Okay? Everyone here. And you may think, well, Brother Doug, I don't know what that is. Let me help you. Right? Would you like help finding your purpose? Say amen. Right. I'm going to help you. Here's what you do. God has put a desire in your heart for certain things. He's given you a desire for those things in His work. For example, youth ministry, college ministry, seniors ministry, church ministry. You know, I mean, there are all kinds of opportunity, right? But you say, well, Brother Doug, how do I focus in? Look at what you're interested in. That's why we gave you the form to fill out. Saying, what are you interested in? But see, God puts that desire there. He gives you a heart. And you say, okay, Brother Doug, now how do I get focused on one thing? Are you ready? Say amen. Y'all are just not going with me today. All right, you got to wake up, smile, frown, do something. Right? Here's the deal. You will never find your purpose doing nothing. Say that again. You will never find your purpose doing nothing. So what do? You look at where you may have interest and get in there and give something a try. There are people who... who in the past we've asked to preach, asked to teach say, oh, Brother Doug, I can't do that. How do you know? How do you know if you have not tried? See, we've even asked people to be assistant teachers. Oh, Brother Doug, I just can't stand up in front of people. How do you know? Until you try. What about keeping nursery? What about doing vacation Bible school? What about working with teens? Brother Josh's going to need all the help he can get. Come on, amen. Let's go. Come on. What am I saying? I'm saying open your eyes, focus your eyes, and get involved. And if it doesn't, you know, and you may try something and you say, well, this is just not what God has for me. Wonderful, let's go in a different direction and let's try something else. But listen, as long as you're doing nothing, you'll never find God's desire for you and the purpose in your life. Never. Never. Then, finally, be productive. Be productive. Last line, verse 24, you cannot serve God and mammon. I'm sorry, first line, verse 24. You cannot, no one can serve two masters. Our problem today is that we are so torn and Satan's all too happy to pile stuff on the cart that tears us even more. Okay? There are so many demands that are made on the average life. It's no wonder we're worn to a frazzle. You know, I mean, dads, first of all, if you're a father, say amen. If you're married, man, say amen. Now y'all go with me on this journey, men, okay? Every man here wants to be a good husband. Amen. It's important to us. We want to treat the wife that God gave us with respect. We want to honor them and to show them love. And we want them to say, man, I'm glad I married him. Right? So I want to be a good husband. Oh, but what about being a good father? I want to be a good father. Man, children make demands on you. It's expensive raising kids. It takes a lot of money. They want to do everything. And not only are they expensive, they take up all your time because they want to do baseball, basketball, football, soccer, and any other ball and cheerleading and anything going on. They just want to be part of it. But I want to be a good dad, so I'm going to help them do all that. I want to be a good employee. You know? I want to excel at my job and climb the corporate ladder and so that in a few years I'm up here, part of management, the upper crust and making more money. I want to do all that stuff. But here's the problem. Let's throw in a hobby in there. How many of you have a hobby? Do you have a hobby? Say amen. If you don't, you probably need to get one. Goodness. There's nothing wrong with hobbies. It's good. But my point is this. I want you to stop and just consider a minute everything that makes demands on your life. Church, family, marriage, job, everything. And they don't just make suggestions. Every one of them makes demands and try to put you in that position where you have got to do this. You ever feel that way? You ever get bitter because you've got to do this? There's a problem. See, people today are living on the edge of exhaustion. They're living on the edge. Well, not on the edge. They are. They're miserable. Because they don't have time for anything. So they begrudge everything. I've got good news for you. Are you ready? Are you ready for the good news? All right. No man can serve two masters. I'm not intending to add to the Word of God or take away from the Word of God, but I'm going to make a comment about that. No man can serve two masters. No man can serve three masters. No man can serve four masters. No man can serve 10 masters. See, the problem with us today is we have allowed all these demands to become our master to the point that we don't do anything well. We're running so many directions. Here's the answer. Only God can set order to the chaos of life. And it kind of goes back to points 1 and 2. What do you do about all this, brother? Brother Doug, I'm tired. I know. Brother Doug, you add one more thing to my plate, I'm just going to scream. I know. Here's what you do. There's room for one, number one. Make God number one. And it gets really easy after that. That means you'll make your decisions based upon honoring God. You'll pursue things based upon honoring God. For example, we said we wanted to be a good husband, right? Come on, men. We want to be good husbands, right? All right. Let's be vocal husbands here, right? How do you keep that in perspective? Can you honor God by being that good husband? Absolutely. God, you're number one. So what kind of husband am I going to be? I'm going to be Ephesians 5:21 husband. Because that's what God wants. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Well, can you imagine how the women in our lives would act if we loved them like Christ loved the church? Can you imagine the difference that would make? Can you imagine how they'd just say, "But I'll follow you anywhere." They wouldn't have nearly the problem of submitting if we'd just love, right? Come on, guys. You can be the best husband, a better husband than you've ever been before. Ever been before. If God is number one. What about being a father? What about being the best father that you can possibly be? Again, make God number one. What does God say about being a father? Train up Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know the biggest responsibility you have as a father is to turn your children's heart toward God. That's the biggest, that's the greatest responsibility that you have. And I'm going to give you a little advice from the old guy, right? I know my kids are grown. Now I have grandkids. But I still know, I remember what it's like to be a parent. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, right? Parents, please listen. It is okay to tell your children no. Amen. It is even good to tell your children no. They do not have to be involved in every activity under the sun. With most parents, and listen, there's nothing wrong with those activities. You're playing ball? Wonderful. Go play baseball. Have a good time. Play football? Wonderful. Go play football. Have a good time. Play soccer? Wonderful. Go play soccer. Have a good time. But don't do all of them. Most families never even sit down at a table and have dinner together on a weeknight because they're running their kids all over the place. You see, it's the world trying to make you give the master's place away. It's okay as parents to say, okay, you want to play baseball? Play baseball. We're not going to do the rest of the stuff. You can play baseball. You want to play football? Okay, play football. We're not going to do the rest of the stuff, but play football. You know, have them pick one or two things that they seem to be good at or that they want to pursue, but and let them do it. But listen, the best gift that you can give your children is to be a family. And a family does not raise the family at the ballpark. Oh, some people will throw rotten veggies at me for that statement, but it's true. There's nothing wrong with those things if you keep them in place in their proper order. God number one. Train up a child in the way he should go. That's your central focus. It's your central focus as a parent. Your God-honoring focus. What about being a good employee? Colossians 3:22. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but sincerity of heart, fearing God. Are you supposed to be a good employee? Absolutely you are. Absolutely you are. But you know what? Work should never be your master. You are not defined by what you do. You're defined by your relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, this is all about serving. And one of the things that we hear all the time about serving is, Brother Doug, one of these days I'm going to get involved. One of these days I'm going to get involved with the seniors. One of these days I'm going to get involved with the youth. One of these days I'm going to be a better church member. I'm going to one of these days. Turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. I want you to read this with me very closely, or pay very close attention. I'll read it out loud. But Jesus is dealing with those who kind of sort of want to follow Him, but they haven't made Him a priority. And so, verse 57, it says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to Him, 'Lord, I will follow You wherever You go.' Ah, but Jesus knew what was in his heart. And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head.'" Saying, you know what you're getting into? It's not easy. I want to tell you, and I do not want to mislead you. Being a servant of the Lord is not very easy. The more you serve, the harder it becomes. For this guy, he was just throwing those words out there, and Jesus called him on and said, "You realize, of course, if you're going to follow me, that means you're going to be like me. I have nothing. I don't even own a house to go home to." In verse 59, it says, Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another said to him, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." You know, as I was reading that, I was a bit convicted. And I was reminded that, you know what? Jesus is not looking for excuses. Jesus is looking for followers, for servants. And you can't serve Jesus until you have the mentality of giving your all to Jesus. we're told in the book of Romans, that we're to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, because that's our reasonable service. I'm not here, and I've said this time and time again in this process of servant, the heart of a servant. I'm not here to guilt you into anything. I don't want you to serve because you feel guilty. I don't. Because that will not last. I'm here to convince you that serving Jesus pays. I've told you on numerous times how that I surrendered to preach. Man, I went down the road with that, and I'm going to tell you again. You've heard the story, but I'm going to tell you again. I was in the Air Force when I surrendered to preach. Came out of the Air Force, went to work for the FAA as an air traffic controller. Did that for some years, and all the time that was deep down in my heart, I knew, this is not where I'm called. This is not what I'm called to be. It's not what I'm called to do. But Lord, this is what I want to do. And for those 6 years, most of those 6 years, I was spiritually miserable. Not only was I spiritually miserable, Beth was miserable. She told me after I finally said, "Lord, hear my send me," and I truly surrendered, she told me that she didn't know how much longer she could put up with me. You see, when you're not following the Lord, not only will you be miserable, you'll make other people miserable. When you're not serving where the Lord wants you to serve, not only will you be miserable, you'll make others miserable. But here's what happened. When I said, "Okay, Lord, here am I, send me. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, if you want me to pastor churches, I'll pastor. If you want me to youth pastor, I'll youth pastor. I'll do whatever, Lord, you want me to do." When I said that, I was filled with peace. And the burden was gone. And life got good again. A lot of people today are running from God. "Oh, it just won't work if I sell out." It's the only way life works. It's the only way life makes sense. I want you to understand today, I stand before you to testify that I was not happy, inside or out, until I said yes to Jesus' call on my life. And I truly do not believe you will be happy inside or out until you say yes to the call of God. This invitation that we're going to have in just a moment is for you. As I said, I don't want to guilt you into anything. I don't want to talk you into anything. I just want you to be everything God wants you to be. So as we have this invitation, I want to ask that you bow your heads right now. I leave you with the words of Joshua. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose. I love how he ended it. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Our Father in heaven, thank you. Oh, it's so good to be your servant, your child. Father, it is a privilege to serve you, a joy to serve you. And yes, sometimes, Lord, it's hard, but your grace is always sufficient. Lord, I pray, you knowing every heart, everyone that's present in this service today, you know every spiritual need, I pray that you'd draw each individual one to you. Those who are serving that feel a little beat up and tired, Lord, I pray that you'd encourage and lift them up. those who are running, Lord, I pray that You will draw them to You and that they will come to You without putting restrictions. For those who have grown lukewarm, I pray that You would light their fire so that we may all be found faithful every day serving You. In Jesus' name I pray.